Okay, Shmuel Perek Ches. So Shmuel Al Perek Ches, very interesting Perek, and we'll discuss. We're not going to finish the Perek tonight. We'll do probably half of it tonight, and the next half, hopefully next week, Yemirtz Hashem. But a very interesting Perek, and a lot of the Mefarshim talk about this Perek, and we'll see the request. A great deal. So we're not going to cover everything that they talk about, but we'll try to touch on some of the things. That they talk about. Okay. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Kasher Zaken Shmuel Vayasem Es Banav Shoftim LiYisrael. So Shmuel gets old, and he appoints his children, his sons, to be judges over Klal Yisrael. Shmuel, of course, was the Shofet. Shmuel's getting old now. Old is a relative term, because Shmuel, we know, died at 52. So, 52 is not even that old, Baruch Hashem, right? So, presumably means Kasher Zaken Shmuel, that for him, he was getting old, and he was getting weaker. The Malbim explains that because he was getting older, he wasn't able, as we learned at the end of last parak, he wasn't able to circulate among the cities in Klal Yisrael the way that he once did. If you remember, we learned at the end of last parak that Shmuel used to circulate. He used to go around the different cities and judge Bnei Yisrael from those cities. And the Pasuk is saying at the beginning of Perek Ches, he's not able to do that as well. He can't schlep as much as possible, as much as he wants it. We all know that as we age, even maybe when we get to 52, it's already hard to schlep the way that we used to schlep when we were younger. So Shmuel couldn't do that anymore. He couldn't schlep all around. And therefore he appointed his sons as shoftim. And the goal, the Malbim says, was that they should circulate, that just like he did, just like he had this practice of going from city to city, judging the Jewish people, that his son should do the same. Pasuk Beis, Vayhi Shem Beno HaBachor Yoel, Shem Mishnehu Avia, Shoftim Bever Shava. Says the Pasuk that the name of his Bachor, his oldest son, was Yoel, the name of his second son was Avia, and they were Shoftim where? In Be'er Sheva. So what does that mean exactly? So first of all, it's the question is who exactly was Yoel. Some say that this Yoel is also the prophet Yoel. We know that later we have Yoel as part of one of the Treyasar. So some say that Yoel was the same prophet of Yoel that we have there in Treyasar. But we see already in this pasuk that they're not following in their father's ways exactly. Why? Because the pasuk concludes that they're shoftim bever shava. What does that mean that they're shoftim bever shava? Says the Malbim, Shmuel, when he appointed them, his intention was they were going to circulate, right? Just like he did, he went to the different cities to judge them. So that was his intention for his sons. His sons didn't do that. They didn't circulate. They stayed put. They stayed put in bever shava. And they made the Jewish people come to them for judgment. They didn't run around to the Jewish people. They made the Jewish people come to them. Not only that, but the Radak points out that that Be'er Sheva, it's not just a coincidence that it says here Be'er Sheva. He says Be'er Sheva at this point in time in Jewish history was on the southern border of Israel. So now Baruch Hashem Israel, we go a little bit further south than Be'er Sheva. But here, Be'er Sheva was the southernmost point of Israel. The Pasuk says, Midon ve'ad Be'er Sheva. Don was the northernmost region, and Be'er Sheva was the southernmost. So says the Radak, it's bad enough that they didn't circulate, but they stationed themselves in Be'er Sheva, all the way in the south of Eretz Israel. Not only that, but there were two sons. So had they stationed one in the north and one in the south, says the Radak, that would have been okay. Station one son in Be'er Sheva, south, one son in Don to the north, that would have been okay, that would have been manageable. But they both stationed themselves in Be'er Sheva. They both stayed put, and they both stationed themselves in Be'er Sheva. And that was not exactly the way that Shmuel had envisioned things. That's not what he wanted them to do. But that's what they do. We find, and this is what the Mefarshim say, that they did not follow. I mean, we'll see this in a minute. In Pasuk Gimel, we'll just read Pasuk Gimel now because that really shows us exactly what the issue here was. Pasukim of lo halchu banav bidrachav, that his sons did not follow in his ways. Vayatu achare habotza. Okay, we'll talk about, we'll focus on that in a moment. We'll focus on the second half of Pasukim in a moment. But at least the first half of Pasukim of lo halchu banav bidrachav, they did not follow in his ways. And again, we learned at the end of Perek Zayin that Shmuel, the reason why he did this, the reason why he circulated to the different cities to judge Bnei Yisrael in those cities, is because he did not want to be Matriach Bnei Yisrael. He was the type of leader that not only was he going to judge Bnei Yisrael, but he was going to do it in a way where he would not be Matriach them. And here his sons, according to the way that the Radak is understanding it and the Malbim is understanding it, they cared about themselves. They stayed put, they stayed stationary, and they forced Bnei Yisrael to be Matriach themselves to come to them. That already was not the right thing to do. V'lo halchu banav bidrachav, that his sons did not follow in his path, and that was something that was terrible. Again, they weren't. We'll learn in a little bit that's the only thing that we. Well, all right. Well, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So let's read Pasuk Gimel and then we'll see. But they didn't follow in their father's ways. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. So we said they didn't follow in their father's ways. The second half of Pasuk Gimel says Vayitu acharei habatzah. They strayed after Batza. Betza is money, right? They were focusing on the money. They were focusing on how they could get paid. Vayikhu shochad. Pasuk says they took bribes. Vayatu mishpat. And they caused justice to be perverted. Rashi says the first Vav Yud Test Yud is read Vayitu. The second is Vayatu. What's the difference? So says Rashi, Vayitu means they strayed. Vayatu means that they caused something to stray. They caused the judgments to stray or to be perverted. Now, Pashup Shat, this sounds terrible, right? The Radak says that the Torah tells us, we know in Shmos Perek Yudches, the Torah says, in Parshas Yisrael, when Yisrael recommends to Moshe that he should appoint judges, because remember, Moshe was judging Bnei Yisrael all by himself. Yisrael said, this is a terrible idea. You're going to get all worn out. You can't possibly judge Bnei Yisrael alone. You have to appoint judges. So the Torah describes the type of judges that you're supposed to appoint. The Torah says, you should appoint Anshei Chayil, Yirei Elokim. Anshei Chayil are powerful, strong people. Yirei Elokim, people who have the awe of God. Anshei Emes, people of truth. Sonei Vatza, those who hate money. Hate money, what does it mean to hate money? It means you're not focusing on money. That's not your focus on this world, is how to amass as much money as possible. Everybody needs money to support their family. Everybody needs money to put bread on the table, of course. But they're not ohave batza. They're sone batza. They despise it. They just do what they have to do in order to make a living, and that's it. They're not looking for extras. They're not looking for luxuries. They're not looking for more and more money and more wealth. Sone batza. And that's who you should appoint. Says the Radak, that's what the Torah says. You should appoint Sone Vatza. They're happy with what they have. They're not chasing money. They're not chasing material things. Instead, what were they? Ohave Vatza. These were, as the Pasuk says, Vayitu Acharei Vatza. They went after the money. They were looking for the money. Chazal say, and this is interesting, Chazal say that here what they were trying to do by not circulating and by staying put in Beersheba is that they want the people to come to them, because they wanted their staff to get paid also. If they're traveling, they're not traveling with so much staff. They're traveling alone, maybe with one or two assistants, right? But here they stay put in Be'er Sheva. They build themselves a nice court, and they have a whole staff, right? Rashi quotes the Radak, I'm sorry, quotes the Chazal, and other Mefarshim quoted it as well. They wanted to be marbe the schar for their chazonim and their sofrim. Chazonim doesn't mean chazanis, the shliach tzibor, leading the prayers. Chazanim here refers to the people who worked for the court, the bailiffs, the ones who used to go and issue the summonses and things like that. They were the chazanim of the court, and the sofrim were the scribes, the ones who would write the judgments, right? So they have all these workers, they have all these employees. They want them to get paid. They want to have a nice staff. So that's what they were doing. That's why they set up these courts in Be'er Sheva. Now, Pashup Shat, if you look at these psukah, if you look at this pasuk, really just pasuk Gimel, sounds pretty terrible, right? It reminds us of just a few prakim ago when we learned about the Bnei Eli, right? The sons of Eli who were not following in their father's ways, and also were doing terrible things, were taking things that they were not entitled to at times that they were not entitled to them. And here we find, you know, these people, they're going after money, they're taking bribes, they're perverting justice. Sounds like terrible things for judges and for shoftim to be involved with. So Pashuk Shad in the Pesukim is that it sounds terrible. It sounds like they did all these things. The Malbim says that they did one after the other. It was Avera Goreras Avera, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us. One sin causes it leads to another sin. You start with one, that leads to a second sin, leads to a third sin. That's what happened here. Right, they were vayitu acharei abatzah. Then they were vayikhu shocha. Then they were vayatu mishpat. That's what happened. Avera goreras avera. That's the pashup shot. But Chazal in the Gemara and Shabbos tell us that that's not exactly what was going on here. That's not exactly what was going on. And this is a Gemara and Shabbos that takes several parshios that we have in the Torah or in Tanakh, I should say, where when you read the pashup shot of the parsha in Tanakh, it sounds like someone did something terrible. And the Gemara says that that's not the way it's supposed to be understood. Okay, and the language here in the Gemara quotes us one of the Amoraim who says, Kol ha'omer b'nei Shmuel chatu. This is a Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Nun Hey. Kol ha'omer b'nei Shmuel chatu. Anyone who says that the sons of Shmuel sinned, eino ela toeh, is making a mistake. Is making a mistake. They weren't sinners, the sons of Shmuel. Now, if you read the Pasuk, it sounds like they were sinners. But it says, the Gemara says that's not what it means. Why? Because what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Velo halchu banav bidrachav. Right? That's what the Pasuk says in Pasuk Gimel. Velo halchu banav bidrachav. Right? That they didn't follow in their father's ways. Says the Gemara that if they were sinners, it wouldn't just say they didn't follow in their father's ways. It would say they sinned. By saying they didn't follow in their father's ways, what that means is that their only sin was that they did not follow in their father's ways, meaning that they set up their courts and stationed themselves in Beersheba and didn't circulate among the people. They were Matriach B'nai Yisrael, unlike Shmuel, who did not want to be Matriach B'nai Yisrael. That was their only sin. But what the Pasuk says here, and then the Gemara asks, so how do you understand Vayitu Acharei Abotza? If you're telling me they didn't really sin, so what does that mean, Vayitu Acharei Abotza? So it means that even though Shmuel went around, they didn't go around, and they did it, as we mentioned, in order for their employees to get paid. But it doesn't mean that they were money hungry. The Pasuk sounds like they were money hungry. Vayitu Acharei Abotza, they were money hungry, they just wanted to amass wealth. That's not the case, says the Gemara. That's not really what was going on. They wanted their employees to get paid. They had a staff, and they wanted their employees to get paid. So Shmuel wasn't concerned about that himself, and that's why he circulated probably without a staff. But they had a staff, and they wanted their employees to get paid. That's why they stationed themselves. That's what the Pasuk means, Vayitu Acharei Abotza. And the Gemara quotes several different opinions in the Tanaim as to what exactly did they do wrong? What exactly did they do wrong? So some say that they asked. They were Levium, right? Shmuel was a Levi. His sons were Levium. So Levium are entitled to Meiser. Are entitled to Meiser. They're entitled to a tenth of the farmer's produce. So instead of just being passive and allowing people to give them the Meiser, they would request the Meiser. That was their sin. They would request the Meiser. So once they requested it, you have a chashuv, a shofet, you have a big judge, a big rav, who requests a favor, so you do it for him, right? So they would request the meiser from people, and people would give them the meiser. Now, is that a sin? Not a sin. It doesn't violate any losa, say, in the Torah. It doesn't violate anything in the Torah. It's not in a great spirit. It's not exactly the way that perhaps in terms of good midos tovos, not exactly the way that a shofet should act. So that's what was wrong according to one opinion. According to another opinion, they more forcefully took Meiser. Maybe they put a box and, you know, an extra box of Meiser that they wanted to forcefully take for themselves. Some say that they wanted to take even the Matnos Kahuna. I'm sorry, there's one opinion also that they um, that they invested with people, and they wanted to, they wanted people, you know, they invested money with people, and they wanted a return on their investment. And they, because of that, when those people that they were their, you know, their partners, when they came to court, so they didn't, perhaps they didn't judge them in a completely unbiased way because they were their investment partners. They were their business partners. That's another understanding of what they did wrong. Another possibility is that they took the, certain matnos kahuna. They were entitled only to matnos levia, obviously. They were levim. Maybe they took some matnos kahuna. Some say, no, it doesn't mean matnos kahuna, but it really means matnos, you know, matnos levia, you know, what the lady is supposed to get. But in essence, you know, they did things perhaps that they weren't usher per se. It's not like they were, you know, certainly according to Chazal, they were not doing things as, you know, as bad as what B'nai Eli did. They were not really violating any Isurim. You know, they were doing things that perhaps were not in great taste or not unbecoming, perhaps, of people of their stature, not not following, in, you know, Midos Tovos. But says the Gemara, they didn't really sin in the conventional sense of the term. There's an interesting Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin where he talks about the fact that a dayan has to be very careful. A judge, a Jewish judge, has to be very careful with how they judge and with who they judge. And he writes, he talks about the fact that that a judge who judges and sets up his court in a way where he wants his employees to get paid more, that's something negative. That's called notim, excuse me, acharei habatza. And he quotes this pasuk in Shmuel. He says this was the sin. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Says this was the sin of the Bnei Shmuel, where it says vayitu acharei habatza, vayikhu shocha. They didn't really take bribes, but it means that they didn't do things in the proper in the proper way. He quotes several different interesting anecdotes that are brought in the Gemara. That show just how honest a dayan, how honest a judge has to be. I'll just give a couple of examples, fascinating little anecdotes that he shares here. He says that there was a dayan who was crossing a river, and there was a little rickety bridge or something that that people use, not a sturdy bridge, a little rickety bridge that people used to use to cross this river, and he was crossing the river, and a fellow, you know, wanted to help him across. So he extends his hand to help the dayan cross the river. So he helps him out. So the dayan turns to him and he says, thank you very much, but please don't ever come to me for a court case. I'm puzzled to judge your court cases. Why? Because he said that since you helped me, you did me a favor, you helped me across the river, so I owe you, right? And I owe you a favor. And I'm puzzled to judge your court case. That's one example. There was another example where a person, I quote another example that there was a Kohen, a dayan who was a Kohen, and somebody came to him and gave him one of the matnos kahuna, one of the things, you know, the Kohanim are entitled to truma and to different parts of the karbonos, things that they're entitled to. And he gave it to this dayan. The dayan says, thank you very much. Please don't ever come to a court case with me. I'm puzzled to judge you. Even though, again, he didn't do anything wrong. The dayan was a Kohen. He was giving him one of the matnos kahuna. He didn't do anything wrong. But the dayan said, I can't judge your case anymore. Because now I'll be biased. Because you did me some, you know, you did something nice to me. You gave me this matnos kahuna. And again, you know, other types of cases like that. We don't have to go through all the ones the Rambam quotes. But the, you know, I think the theme that comes through in a very strong way from this Rambam and really from this whole story is how honest judges have to be. Like when it comes to Jewish judges, how honest they have to be. And there's all sorts of stories. Unfortunately, there Baruch Hashem, there are many batei din that are wonderful, and unfortunately, there are some batei din that have don't have the greatest of reputations. But you see here that when it comes to a beis din, when it comes to dayanim, that dayanim have to be so careful, you know, not to chas v'shalom have any sort of bias towards any of the parties. And even in these extreme examples of just lending a hand or giving one of the matnos kahuna, which again, normal things, right? But it can't be. When it comes to dayanim, it can't be. And if a dayan senses that he's not exactly but he's not 100% unbiased because of something that he experienced with this person, he needs to recuse himself from the case. He needs to say, I'm sorry, I can't judge this case because I have a negius. I'm biased towards one of the parties. You know, it's a very, very important concept in Jewish law of trying to be, you know, trying as much as we can to be as unbiased as possible. We're not even talking about accepting bribes. That's, you know, pure corruption. But I'm talking about even not, you know, pure corruption, just, you know, a little bit of bias, a little bit of not seeing the case 100% objectively. Even that's off limits for a Jewish judge. Okay. So this is what was going on. Shmuel appoints his sons. His sons are not exactly following in his ways. Again, they weren't, according to Chazal, according to the Pashup Shad of the Pasuk, they were sinning. According to Chazal, they weren't exactly sinning, but they weren't doing things that were, you know, on the level of the Shoftim that they were. And therefore, B'nai Yisrael comes to them and they say, you know, we need something else. This system is not working. Pasuk Dalin Vayiskavtsu Kol Ziknei Yisrael. All of the elders of the Jewish people gather by Avoel Shmuel Harabasa. They come to Shmuel in Ramah, that's where he lived. They come to Shmuel and they say, they ask the following. The Malbim says that what was going on here is that once there was a perversion of justice, so the enemies of B'nai Yisrael started to get a little bit antsy. You know, they weren't quite fighting with and defeating B'nai Yisrael just yet. They started to get a little antsy, and maybe B'nai Yisrael were seeing signs, whether it was signs of anti-Semitism or signs of violence on the part of the other nations of the world. They started to see that, you know, it's not like the way that it was. It's not like the nations of the world are just subjugated to the B'nai Yisrael the way that they were. You know, we're starting to see that they're getting restless. Says the Malbim, that's because of the perversion of justice. That when you have justice, when you have, you know, proper justice, so then B'nai Yisrael will defeat all of their enemies. Kadosh Baruch Hu will help them defeat all of their enemies. But once we have a perversion of justice, once we don't have, you know, Torah in its purest sense, but we have a misapplication or a perversion of the justice of the Torah, so then that's when B'nai Yisrael will begin to be defeated by its enemies. And that's what was beginning to happen here. They smelled something in the air that it wasn't good. You know, the winds were blowing in the wrong direction. Pasuk Hey. Vayomru Eilav, and they said to Shmuel, Hinei ata zakanta, you're getting old, uvanecha lo halchu bidrachecha, and your sons are not following in your ways. Ata simalanu melech l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim. Now, we'd like you to appoint a king upon us to judge us like all of the other nations. Just like all the other nations have kings, so we'd like you to appoint a king to judge us like all of the other nations. As the Malbim says, you're no longer cut out to be a shofet. You're old, right? You're old. As we read, that's how we began this parak. Shmuel Zakein. Shmuel's old. He's no longer cut out to be a judge. Your sons theoretically could have done it, but they're not. They're not following in your ways. We need a king. We need something else. We need a different type of authority. Now, Pasuk Vav, and then we'll come back. Pasuk Vav. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. Shmuel thought this was terrible. He said, this is terrible. I can't believe this. Kasher omru tanalar melech l'shoftenu. When they asked for a king to judge them, Shmuel thought, this is a travesty. This is a sin. This is a travesty. This is a tragedy. It's a terrible thing. Vayispalel Shmuel el Hashem. And Shmuel davened to Hashem, as the Radak and the Mitzvah Das David says, he davened for Nevuah. How do I deal with this? How am I supposed to deal with B'nai Yisrael? How am I supposed to handle this? How am I supposed to deal with this request of the of B'nai Yisrael? I don't know what to do. Now, what was Shmuel so upset about? And, you know, let's read one more pasuk and then we'll come back. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel. So Hashem says to Shmuel, Shma b'kol ha'am. Listen to the nation. L'chol asher yomru elecha. Listen to everything that they're telling you. Ki lo oscha ma'asu. They're not despising you. They're not doing anything against you. Ki osi ma'asu mimloch aleihem. They're despising me. They don't want me, says Hashem, as the king upon them. Instead, they want a melech basar v'adam. Instead, they want a human king. So we see Shmuel is furious. We see Hashem is upset. Ki osi ma'asu mimloch aleihem. Why? Why is everybody so upset? This is what the Mefarshim all struggle with here. The Radak and the Malbim and the Alshech. All the Mefarshim struggle with this. Chazal and the Midrashim struggle with this. What's the big deal? As the Alkut Shimoni says in Parsha Shoftim, by the way, it's this week's Parsha. You see the incredible Hashkacha. We're mamash learning this. This is this week's Parsha. The Torah tells us, Som Tasim Alach HaMelech. We have a mitzvah in the Torah to appoint a king. And as the Medrash says in the Alkut Shimoni in this week's Parsha, that when we come into Eretz Yisrael, there are three mitzvahs that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to appoint a king, we're supposed to destroy, eradicate Amalek, and we're supposed to build the Beis HaMikdash. These are the three mitzvahs that we're supposed to do when we come into Bnei Yisrael. Osimo alai melech, as the Pasuk says. This week's Parsha. Som tosimo alach melech. We have a mitzvah in the Torah to appoint a king. So asks the Yalkut Shimoni. Right? And Chazal already asked the question. The Mefarshim all quote this Chazal and deal with it on their own as well. but Chazal already asked the question. What's the big deal? What was so bad about this? Vayera hadover ve'enei Shmuel. Shmuel thought this was so terrible. And Hashem says, Ki osim ha'osum im loch aleim, that they despised me, they didn't want me to be their king. What's so bad? There's a mitzvah in the Torah, Som tatsim alach ha'malach. They're just following that mitzvah. That's one of the three things they're supposed to do when they come into Eretz Yisrael. What's the big deal? This is the question that's posed by Chazal. So, there are different answers given to this. One answer that the Medrash gives, this is one of the opinions in the Medrash, Rabbi Yehuda, I believe, who says that, what did they say? They said, Sima lanu melech, ata sima lanu melech, right now appoint a king upon us, l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim. The Shoftinu Kichol HaGoyim, to judge us like all of the nations. What is that supposed to mean? Judge us like all of the nations? So we'll explain that a little bit more, but one of the opinions says that was their sin. Like all of the nations, that was the sin of Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Nehorai, a second opinion in the Medrash, says that the reason why they asked for a king was really because they wanted to do Avodah Zarah. It was really because they wanted to do Avodah Zarah. Now, what does this mean? So let's try to explain this a little bit. The Radak says that they weren't asking for a king to fulfill the mitzvah of Som Tasim Alach HaMelech. If that was the case, there would be no problem, right? And not only that, but had they asked for a king just to judge them, because, hey, Shmuel, you're old, your sons are not following your ways, we just need someone to judge us, had they done that, that also would have been okay. Had they asked Shmuel to resume his position, to take his position back as the shofet, then of course that would have been okay. Had they asked for a king to give them tochacha, to guide them in their avodas Hashem, that would have been okay. But that's not what they did. They asked for a king l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim, to judge us like all of the other nations of the world. They wanted to be like all the other nations. Hashem says, you don't need to be like all the other nations. I'm fighting your wars. I'm fighting your battles. Remember from Sefer Yehoshua, all of the battles of Yehoshua and his army coming into Eretz Yisrael were all victorious, miraculously victorious, because Hashem was fighting their battles. Hashem says, you don't need a king to fight for you. They're thinking, we need a king, kechol hagoyim, like all the other nations of the world. Says the Radak, this shows a little bit of a lack of bitachon in Hashem. And the Mitzudas David and the Malbim both explain this a little further. And they say, what does the Pasuk say? They wanted a king l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim. Says the Mitzudas David, they wanted a king to judge them? Judgment, justice is for who? That's for judges. That's not for kings. Judges use the laws of the Torah to judge cases. Kings, they're not judges. So when you're asking for a king to judge you, that means that you want to abandon the Torah. I think about it for a minute in the American government. Okay? I'm not getting political here. Don't unmute yourselves and share any political views. I'm just right? Whoever the president might be, and whatever you think of the president or of Congress, okay? But we know we have three branches of government. We have the judicial branch, the executive branch, right? The executive branch is not judging. The ones that are judging are that's the judicial branch, right? The Supreme Court, the other judges, they're the ones who are judging. The executive branch, they run the show in other ways. So says the Mitzudas David, that when the Bnei Yisrael are asking, they want a king, a melech l'shafteinu k'chol agoyim, a Jewish king doesn't judge. A shofei judges based on the laws of the Torah. The Jewish king? You want a king that's going to judge according to his own logic. You want a king that's not going to be subject to the laws of the Torah. That's what you want. K'chol agoyim. Just like all of the nations of the world, their kings don't judge based on the laws of the Torah. Their kings judge based on their own logic, based on what they think. That's what you want. That's what you're looking for. Vayera hadavar b'enei Shmuel. Shmuel understood. That's what Bnei Yisrael wanted. Kadosh Baruch Hu understood. That's what Bnei Yisrael wanted. Ki osi ma'asu mimloch aleihem. They don't want me and my laws, meaning and the laws of the Torah. They're despising the laws of the Torah. Right? It says in Mesudas David, what does the Pasuk say here? The Pasuk says, Hashem tells Shmuel, listen to them. Shema b'kolam hazeh, Pasuk Zayin. Why? Ki lo oscha ma'asu. They didn't do anything wrong to you. They consulted you. They came to Shmuel to ask him this question. So they're not despising Shmuel's leadership. They're despising the laws of the Torah. They want human logic. That's what they want. Listen to what they're telling you. Just give it to them. No problem. The Malbim says that it's also the order. Because what does it say? It says they want a melech l'shofteinu kechol hagoyim. The focus is on the fact that the king is going to judge them. When the king is judging you, that's not a good sign. That means he's not using the laws of the Torah. He's using the laws of the land. He's using his own made-up laws. That's what it means. And he says that's what the Chazal means. There's another Chazal that says that in this context of asking for a king, the Zakenim, the elders, did it right. The young people made the mistake. What does that mean? What does that mean, says the Malbim? The elders did it right. The elders got the request right, but the young people made the mistake. So he says, because the elder asking for a king per se is not a sin. Asking for a king per se can be fine. But when you ask for a king to judge, when you ask for a king to abandon the laws of the Torah and to use his own logic, that's prikas ol malchus shamayim. That's something terrible. That's throwing off the yoke of heaven. That's throwing off the yoke of the Torah. That's not something good. That's not the mitzvah of Son Tasim Alecha Melech. That's how the Malbim and the Mitzudas David seem to understand what's going on here. And continues the Pasuk in Pasuk Ches, Kichol HaMasim Asher Osu Miyom HaAlosi Osam Mitzrayim. All the things that I did when I took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yad HaYom HaZeh, until this day, V'azavuni, and they're abandoning me. I'm sorry, and they abandoned me. Vayavdu Elohim Acherim, and they worshipped idols, they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Hein Hema Osim Gam Loch. This is what they're doing here also. And Radak says, Loch here doesn't mean to you. They weren't doing anything to Shmuel. That's what the previous Pasuk said, right? They didn't do anything to Shmuel. Loch means Imach, with you. With you, meaning you were with them. You led them into battle. They don't need a king to fight their wars, right? Now they're rebelling against me. They're asking for a king. They don't need a king right now. This is not what they need. The Mitzudas David and the Malbim also say something fascinating here. Mitzudas David says, you know, this is nothing new. Because keep in mind, right? We've all learned Sefer Yehoshua. We've learned Sefer Shoftim. Bnei Yisrael keep, especially in Sefer Shoftim, they keep slipping into that cycle of Avodah Zarah, worshiping Avodah Zarah. Says the Mitzudas David, this is nothing new. Just like in the past they've abandoned Hashem for Avodah Zarah, so too now they're abandoning the Torah for the logic of the king. They don't want a shofet who's going to rule according to the logic of the Torah. They want a king who's going to use his own logic. Says the Malbim, something unbelievable here. The Malbim says, what's Hashem saying in this pasuk? All the things that I've done for them coming out of Mitzrayim. What were all of those things? Says the Malbim, they were all miracles. Supernatural miracles. Hashgacha, what we call Hashgacha Pratis. That's what they were. I've always acted with Hashgacha Pratis with them. Bnei Yisrael doesn't operate with natural law. They operate with supernatural law. But they don't want that anymore. They want Avodah Zarah and not me, says Hashem. What's Avodah Zarah represents, says the Malbim? Avodah Zarah represents the stars and the moon. It represents nature. They want Teva. They want nature. Kechol HaGoyim. Just like all of the other nations of the world operate within the system of nature. They don't operate supernaturally. They don't operate miraculously. That's what we want. We want a king, L'shavtenu Kechol HaGoyim. We want a king who's going to act with us in the natural realm. Just like all the other nations of the world, not in the supernatural Hashgacha Pratis realm. That's what they want. He says that's what the Medrash means. If you remember, we mentioned the Medrash says, one of the opinions say that the Chetir, the sin, was the Bnei Yisrael asked for a king. They really wanted to do Avodah Zarah. What does that mean they wanted to do Avodah Zarah? It says the Malbim, it's a mashal. They didn't really want to worship Avodah Zarah. But it means that they wanted to abandon the miraculous supernatural Hashgacha Hashem and work within the system of nature. That's what they want. That's what Avodah Zarah refers to here. They're looking for natural law. They're not looking for Hashgacha Pratis. They're not looking for miracles. That's what they're looking for. Says the Pasuk Tes, Be'ata Shema Bekola. Now, says Hashem to Shmuel, listen to them. Listen to them. Says the Malbim, beautiful. So beautiful. Now that they've revealed their intentions, they reveal that they don't want my Hashgacha Pratis. They don't want my supernatural divine providence. They want to operate within the system of nature. Once that's the case, they're no longer deserving of the Hashgacha. Now they need a king, says the Malbim. Because once they request not to be under my Hashgacha Pratis, they're no longer deserving of the Hashgacha Pratis. Now they're going to be subject to the laws of nature. If you're subject to the laws of nature, you need a king. Of course you need a king to show Bnei Yisrael how to operate. So now they need a king, says the Malbim, because of their lack of bitachon, because of their lack of desire for my Hashgacha Pratis. Now you got to listen to them and appoint them a king. However, ach ki ha'e ta'ibahem. Well, you have to testify to them. You have to tell them. You got it to lohem. Mishpat ha'melech asher yimloch aleihem. You have to tell them the Mishpat HaMelech of the king who's going to rule over them. What does that mean, the Mishpat HaMelech? So says the Malbim, it doesn't say the Mishpat HaMelucha. Mishpat HaMelucha are the laws of the king. Right? The king has all sorts of different laws. You're not allowed to ride the king's horse. All different halachas that we learn from the Torah and from the Gemara, all these things that apply to kings. Says the Malbim, Mishpat HaMelech is the things that the melech will take for himself. Why? Because once the king is not subject to the laws of the Torah, once the king is using his own logic and his own operating system, so to speak, then he's going to end up taking things that he's not entitled to. He's going to end up creating laws that he made up on his own, that is about things that he's not entitled to. That's the Mishpat HaMelech. Warn them that if he's not subjugating himself to the laws of the Torah, he's going to end up taking things that he's not entitled to. It's not going to be good for you. And the Mitzvah Das David, along the same lines, says the same thing, that you have to warn them, Ha'ei Ta'ibrahim, warn them, that if the king does not subjugate them himself to the laws of the Torah, he's going to get haughty, he's going to get full of himself, and he's going to end up mistreating them. They're going to end up getting the short straw here. They won't be treated properly. Because once the king gets a full head, once he gets haughty, once he gets arrogant, he's going to take things for himself. He's not going to focus on his subjects. He'll focus on himself. You know, it's an amazing thing when you think about it, because the king, you know, we always think about a king that the king is on top. There's nothing above the king. Whatever the king wants to do, he does. But in Jewish law, that's not the case. This is the first time Klal Yisrael is requesting a king. A Jewish king has a higher order that he has to live by. He has a higher law. He can't just do what he wants. Lahavdil, right? Lahavdil, we think about the American government, right? The executive branch, you have the president of the United States, most powerful person in the country. He cannot just do whatever he wants. He's subject to the laws of the land. He's subject to the Constitution. If he does something that's against the Constitution, he's going to be held accountable for that. And as we've seen, right, even in the last 4 years, all sorts of different accusations and whatever. He's going to be held accountable. That's what it, lahavdil, that's what it's like here. This king is not a Jewish king. He can't just do whatever he wants. He's held accountable, just like the American president is held accountable to the Constitution. He has to abide by the laws of the land. So too, lahavdil, a Jewish king, has to abide by the laws of the Torah. He has to subjugate himself to the laws of the Torah. He can't just do whatever he wants. However, there's a danger. Because if he's not subjugating himself properly to the laws of the Torah, and as we know, there were many kings throughout Jewish history who were not proper and who got arrogant and got haughty and focused on themselves and not their subjects and did not rule in accordance with the laws of the Torah, then things get dangerous. Then that's where things, you know, go awry for the Jewish kings. Give them that nevuah, says the Metzudat HaStava. Give them the nevuah about what happens when a king gets haughty, when a king gets full of himself. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Shmuel es kol divrei Hashem el ha'am ha'sho'alim me'ito melech. The Shmuel comes back to the nation after HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him this message, and he tells the nation everything. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he tells the nation. Says the Malbim, he reveals to the nation that Hashem understands your true motivations. Hashem knows what's going on here. He knows that what's going on here is that you don't want to subjugate yourself to the laws of the Torah. You want a king to judge you according to the laws of the land, kechol agoyim. You want a king who's going to lead you within the laws of nature, like the Malbim says, and not like the supernatural laws of Ashkacha Pratis that you've been working with until now. We know your intentions. I know your intentions, says Shmuel, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows your intentions. We're going to do it. As the Malbim says, unbelievably, you need a king now. We have to do it now, because you're not deserving of the Hashkacha Pratis the way that you were. So we have to give you a king now, just like you asked for. But know the following. Know that this is not going to end well. Know that kings are gonna go awry. And you know, Baruch Hashem, we start out pretty well. We're going to learn about Shaul. You know, Shaul was a tzaddik, but Shaul also did something wrong. We're going to learn about David and Shlomo. These were tzaddikim. But we learned about many kings who were not proper, who did the wrong things, who went off the derech, who focused on themselves, who were haughty and arrogant. This is really the nevuah that's right here in the beginning, when Bnei Yisrael is first asking for a king. Already Shmuel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu are telling them, we're just telling you what's going to happen down the line. Because a king is a tricky thing. If he subjugates himself to the laws of the Torah, it's going to be good. But if not, it can be very, very bad. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.